Hello, and welcome to Off the Cuff. I am your host, Chris Martinson, and on this program, every week, we are going to bring you a fascinating guest, where we are going to discuss the economy, energy, or the environment, informally and without a script. Welcome to this Off the Cuff. Your host, Chris Martinson, talking to you right now, of course, and today with me, Charles Hughes Smith. Charles, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Always a pleasure to be here.
Now, where should we start today? You know, I want to start with, if I did turn around, I would see this gorgeous garden I have growing this year. And it really doesn't look very well planned because I allow all these volunteer things to pop up and do what they're going to do. That includes a lot of flowers, sunflowers, cornflowers, bluebells, cleomes, all of which the bees love. I love seeing the different kinds of bees that come, not just honeybees, crazy ones. I have no idea what they are. Little green carapaces that look like a mashup between a bee and a wasp and fun little guys. So, but it's been a frustrating gardening year because we had essentially just 1.6 inch rain in all of June, all of July. And that's so unusual for this part of the world. Heavy drought. I have a lot of trees in the orchard that look like mid-October right now. They have yellow leaves. They're dropping them. I talked to a landscape company, Charles, and they said they're already bagging leaves from other stressed trees. This is middle of August. This is a little early. So these are just stressed trees, and they're stressed because of the drought. And that drought is due to the fact that our jet stream has once again failed us. And this winter, it failed us by dipping too low and bringing us abnormally cold weather, by which I mean a 17-degree night in April nipped all the buds. I have no pears. No, pears are good this year. I have no peaches and no plums, no cherries. I would like to tell you I'm just a crappy gardener and that's why it happened, but none of the professional orchards around here have any of those either. It was that bad. So I'm in my local permaculture slash home gardening crews around here. People are openly discussing and having meetings around how do we, which cultivars, which varietals should we be planting to be able to manage that level of craziness where we can go from wildly seasonably way too cold to abnormally dry. And let's just say it's a hard solution. We're all going to grow bamboo. I think that's all we came up with.
Boy, that's a curse you won't want to leave. I mean, there are types of bamboo that do not spread, right? That have been selected for just staying where they were originally planted. But I want to speak briefly to hosting the pollinators is that not only because I'm lazy do I allow a lot of volunteer flowers in the garden, but also I do think it's important to provide as much as we can for the pollinators. And if you keep a perfect magazine cover garden that has no flowers and no flowering plants because you rip them out and replace them with something else, you really don't have a lot to offer the pollinators. And so some volunteer flowers of various types is a great idea. And in fact, I let at least one of my vegetable crops go to seed, you know, flower and go to seed just to feed stuff, you know. And so right now the one of my kale plants is like 6 feet tall. And I let a couple carrots get to be like 4 or 5 feet tall. They have the most amazing flower. And so, you know, of course, a lot of stuff feeds off that, various insects and the whole thing works. And I don't recommend having your entire garden left to seed, but, you know, you can leave one or two things to go ahead and seed and then feeds all kinds of stuff that ends up helping you in other ways.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's, I think, important, of course, because we need to leave, it's not about humans and what we get to put on our table only. It has to be about the diversity. So I love seeing the number of birds that just live in my garden. And some of them are seed eaters, and they're just happily munching away on the stuff that I let go to seed. But it's that whole diversity. And I picked that up at Paul and Elizabeth Kaiser's Singing Frogs Farm. They had these hedgerows that were, you know, just a real polyglot of plants. They, you know, rosemary and giant rosemary plants. I wouldn't recognize them out east, but, you know, they like trees. And just regular sort of herbal varieties as well as other woody things. And they said that you need to have those. You need to have them at a certain frequency. You need to have a place there because that's where the predator insects hang out. They're longer lived, slower reproducing. If your garden goes to bare dirt every year, the predator insects don't like that. Takes them a while to get reestablished. And of course, It turns out the prey insects, the herbivores in this story, your aphids and bugs and beetles that feed on the plants, they grow quickly and they reproduce quickly. So the idea there is you want to make sure you're creating a diverse habitat for to keep that predator prey thing going. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but I'm actively creating a more permanent sort of a hedgerow on one edge of my garden here.
Excellent idea. And just listening to your description on a micro scale, you know, like my garden's like 15 by 15 or something, by leaving some stuff to flower, then you're also creating a habitat beneath, you know, in the sort of at the lower levels of your garden for predator insects to hang out. And in fact, virtually all year, because, you know, if you're going to let something flower, it takes a while, you know? Uh-huh. That's another good reason for having flowers year round if you can, or at least as much of the year as you can, and letting some stuff go to seed, because then that helps create a micro environment in your garden for places for predator insects to hang out.
Absolutely. And so my favorite time of the year, August, September, this is when I eat extensively out of my garden. So just flush with abundance, and I love it. I'm only thinking of getting a greenhouse so I can extend it a month on either side. It doesn't sound like much, but it's enormous. If instead of having, you know, this abundance in August, September, if I can have it also in July and October, that's 100% increase in awesomeness as far as I'm concerned.
To listen to this podcast in full, as well as all our other premium podcasts and articles, please enroll at peakprosperity.com. Simply go to peakprosperity.com/enroll.